Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us comes from Judges in the 6th chapter, the reading that you just heard, making reference to the angel of the Lord and his interaction with Gideon, who is himself our symbol of salvation for today. Has anyone ever made an observation about you that's the complete opposite of reality? For example, someone says to you, "Boy, you sure look tired," when in fact you had a good night's sleep and were feeling pretty well rested. Or someone says, "You look really upset. Is everything okay?" And you're thinking to myself, or I'm thinking to myself, "That's just my face. Everything's fine." Then you start to wonder, is everything okay? Is there something I should be upset about? Just plants a little seed in your mind. It can be jarring when someone sees something in you that you don't. I bring this up because in today's reading from Judges, the angel of the Lord appeared to a man named Gideon and starts by saying, calling Gideon, a mighty man of valor. The thing of it is, Gideon didn't feel very mighty at all. As a matter of fact, he was in hiding. In hiding from the Midianites who were oppressing the children of Israel, destroying their crops, killing, stealing their animals, and causing much trouble. As a result, many Israelites felt they had no choice but to make dens and hideouts and strongholds in the mountains and in the caves. And what little wheat Gideon was able to gather, he was threshing in secret, in a wine press. On top of all that, his clan was perceived to be the weakest, and he himself was the weakest in his own family group. So you might be able to understand Gideon's response to the angel of the Lord's greeting. "The Lord is with you," Gideon says in reply. "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all of this happened to us? Where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian, our enemy." Can you relate to Gideon? Perhaps there have been moments in the darkening days of this Advent season when you've asked questions similar to his. If God is with us, if he really is Emmanuel, why is the church struggling? Why is its message ignored? If God is with me, then why are things such a mess? Why do I feel alone? Why am I sick or suffering? Where is the power of God that I hear about in the Bible? Like Gideon, we too may feel forsaken. At the same time, we may also know deep down that some of the messes we experience are of our own making. That's how it was in Gideon's day. The reason God allowed Israel to be overrun by Midianites was because the Israelites persisted in doing wrong. This happens repeatedly in the book of Judges. It's a cycle that's easy to identify. The Israelites forsake the Lord. They run after other gods that they think are going to give them more of what they want. God's anger is roused. He allows enemies to overtake them. Then in their distress, they call out to the Lord for help. The Lord raises up a judge or a deliverer to rescue them from the power of their enemies. The judge does that. The land has rest. Everything goes well for a period of time. Then typically that judge, that deliverer figure, passes away. The people become spiritually apathetic and complacent. They forsake the Lord again, and the cycle renews. This is a warning for us. When everything is going well, we too can be tempted to be complacent in our faith, forgetting the Lord and forsaking Him for the things of this world. It shouldn't surprise us too much then if the Lord should allow hardship to come upon us that we might be brought to see what we've done. But I would suggest that this is also for our comfort. The Lord is doing this to get our attention. He's seeking to work repentance in our hearts so that in faith we would call upon His name again and with greater fervency. Scripture says He disciplines those He loves as children. With the law, He turns us away from our idols. And with the good news, He draws us back and restores us to Himself. Through Christ, the ultimate deliverer, we do have rest. Rest of the soul. Deep rest in Him. And so what I want you to see today is not a burning bush, not a building or a tent like the tabernacle, but here we have a person as a symbol of salvation. Gideon functioning as kind of a preview of Jesus. Gideon was the one chosen by God to deliver Israel in that day, to bring them to rest again. And though Gideon was, by his own admission, the weakest and the least, he was God's man for the job. This is a consistent theme to the very end of Gideon's story. Instead of defeating the Midianites with a massive army, the Lord insists that Gideon reduce his army from 32,000 down to 300 men. 300. This was so that the victory could not be won by human strength, but solely in the wisdom and strength of the Lord. Gideon and his little army could not boast about winning the day. The victory would have to be God's. And it's this very concept, the power of God hidden in powerlessness, that points to fulfillment in Jesus. In other words, Gideon is a living prophecy of the victory over sin and death and the devil, which the Lord brings to us and that we celebrate at Christmas. It is the way of God that the last shall be first and the first last. The humble shall be exalted and lifted up. Jesus is the embodiment of this. You know what I mean? He is the high, the mighty, eternal Son of God. Yet when He comes, He does not look the part. He was laid in a cattle trough for a crib. His birth took place almost secretly. He appeared to be nothing more than a poor peasant boy wrapped in strips of cloth, born in Bethlehem, which Scripture called the smallest among the clans of Judah. And when, as an infant, His life was threatened by a king, He was hidden away in Egypt for a time. Jesus, our mighty man of valor, appeared to be vulnerable, helpless, not only in his birth, but also in his death. Nevertheless, he brought about the fulfillment of his own words, which he had spoken to Gideon, "I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." Gideon and his mere 300 would defeat the countless Midianites as one man because the Lord was with them. The Lord Jesus defeats all our enemies quite literally as one man. By his incarnation, his coming into our flesh, he has taken our humanity into himself, and by his death and resurrection has destroyed sin, death, and the devil once and for all. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, Paul writes, so by the one man's obedience the many, that's us, become righteous. Jesus is an army of one. The only one who can deliver us from our enemies. The one man, Jesus, defeated our powerful enemies through weakness. Because he is the Lord in the flesh. Out of lowly Bethlehem came the one to be ruler and deliverer of Israel. The Midianites in their confusion would end up turning on each other and killing one another in their own camps. In a similar way, Jesus turned death and Satan upon themselves on the cross, delivering us from their power and the sin that pushes us down day by day. The one man, Jesus, assumed the humanity of all people in his conception, in his humble birth, so this one man's victory counts for all people by his resurrection. By the way, the name Gideon means one who breaks or cuts down. Jesus, our Gideon, has broken down, cut down, removed all false gods by the wood of the manger, by the rugged cross. And then you may have noticed the angel of the Lord appearing to Gideon while he's threshing out wheat for bread in a winepress. He departed from sight after Gideon offered up bread and meat on a rock. If we let it, this can point us in the direction of the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper, where the Lord fulfills his promise to be with us in the flesh, where his body and blood offered on the rock of Golgotha are given to us under bread and wine. Though Jesus has departed from our vision, from our sight, he is still present with us as true man and true God in our need, so that we can share in his divine glory. And so all these great songs of Scripture become ours, especially at Christmas time. We can sing along with Mary in her great song of praise, "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." And once again, that's us. When the angel of the Lord departed from Gideon, Gideon realized he had been in the very presence of God. Understandably, Gideon thought he would die for having seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But did you notice? Gideon is given a word of peace. So also we are given peace, an invitation to come into the Lord's presence without fear, through faith in Jesus. By his true humanity, we are saved from judgment and reconciled to God. The Son of God brings comfort to you and me by saying, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die, but live." For the Lord is both the mighty God and the Prince of Peace. So then, during what's left of this Advent season, and indeed into the rest of our lives, let's look at Jesus as our Gideon, who hides his might in lowliness so that he can be right with us at our level. In repentance and turning to him once again, and in faith receiving his promises, trust in the God who hides his power until the perfect moment, whose presence always means peace. Please join me in a word of prayer. Amen, Lord Jesus, grant our prayer. Great Captain, now thine arm make bare, fight for us once again. So shall thy saints and martyrs raise a mighty chorus to thy praise forevermore. Amen.